Father, we are so honored because you have chosen to tabernacle with us, to honor our gathering with your presence. Thank you. We enter your word now with the reverence that it deserves, being fully conscious of the limitations of our human minds to deliver as well as to receive the infinite wisdom of God that has been compressed into this written word. Consequently, we need your assistance and help, supernatural help. So I pray you will anoint me afresh, that I would speak indeed as I should as an oracle of God, and put the same unction and anointing upon the ears and the hearts of everybody that will hear me. Those who are here physically, those who will be hearing me remotely, electronically, that the word will have free course from you, through me, to the people, to do an internal and eternal work in every heart, including my own, causing our wills to become more humble, minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions to become more tempered and controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I further pray that as I speak, the power of the Holy Spirit be released in more than sufficient measure to follow these words wherever they are released and heard in all the earth. Power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes, power that will free men so that they will become doers of the things which they hear and not hearers only. We further pray for mercy to be faithful in the delivery of the word, that I will indeed do it with precision, redeem the time and say only what you want me to say, bringing out of the treasure of this word things new and old, indeed as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. All those in agreement with that prayer, receiving each blessing in their individual life, agree with me and said, as Sister Auntie pointed out, today is Palm Sunday, and traditionally, it's marked as the day Jesus rides into Jerusalem in preparation for his imminent death the following Friday, which we call Good Friday, and then he was raised again from the dead on Easter Sunday. So next Sunday will be Easter Sunday. And there's a message God has put in my heart. I didn't even plan it for Easter Sunday, I must be honest. I didn't plan it for Palm Sunday. But it actually dovetails with the spirit of the season. And I've entitled it Permanent Humility. The Lord Jesus exemplifies humility in its most pristine and complete form. And God wants us not just to be humble, but to remain humble. And that's why I've called it permanent humility. I mentioned it tangentially. It's actually like a kind of series. There's another message that's going to be coming on Easter Sunday. I didn't plan it at first, but, you know, God just speaks to me and then he gives it to me. You know, it's like a batch file in computers. Just, you know, it just releases it like that. And then when I look back and I realize, oh my God, you know, it's actually a series. I taught on the temporal resurrection of the mortal body. This is like a second part of that, and there's a third one that's coming. And so today I will speak briefly. I'm aware we are going to do our medical thing this afternoon, so I will be as concise and as brief as the Lord will help me to. What is humility? It's very important. God gave me a very simple definition many years ago by revelation. I've been hearing a lot of things about humility over the years, and nothing seemed to sit well. But when the Lord now shared this with me, it's submitting to the will of God when you don't feel like it. That's what humility is. That's really as simple. Humility is submitting to the will of God when you don't feel like it. Often, humility to submit to the will of God goes contrary to what our emotions and what our physical bodies, you know, and our minds want to do. So humility is an act of your will, really, to submit to that will of God, even when, particularly when, or especially when, your feelings don't want to do so. And this is exemplified in the Lord Jesus. And it's very interesting. He rides into Jerusalem on what we call Palm Sunday, knowing fully well that that was the last week of his life on earth and that he was going to be killed. And he flowed with the will of God. Long before this, you know, in his first year of ministry, second year of ministry, third year of ministry, when he first of all asked them, you know, in as recorded in Matthew chapter 16, you don't have to go there, I'm just using this as a brief introduction. He said, "Who do men say I am?" They say, "Oh, some say you're John the Baptist, some say you're Elijah, some say you're this, some say you're one of the prophets." He said, "All right, who do you say I am?" Then Peter said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, "Peter, God has shown that to you. It's not flesh and blood. That's by revelation. And this revelation will become the rock on which I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail." Then the scripture says, very significant, it says, from that time, he began to tell them how he was going to go to Jerusalem, how he was going to be killed and be raised the third day. That's when Peter yielded to the devil and said, this will not be to you. That's the feeling. That's how you feel. You know. And he said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." The lesson here is this. Many times, the will of God is contrary to how we feel. And what, you know, the natural human mind and emotions and feelings. And we don't want to do it. Humility is submitting your will to do that will of God when you don't feel like doing it. Philippians chapter 2 verse 5. Let's quickly look at that. Philippians, the second chapter, the fifth verse. Philippians chapter 2 verse 5, if you will. My brethren up here are taking their time. All right, here we go. It says, "Let this mind..." I want everybody to open their mouths. There is something about saying scripture that helps you. It's not enough just to read the Bible, you know, mentally. It's good to vocalize it, you know. I mean, not every scripture, but, you know, many times when we come together, you will see in the New Testament, Paul writing to Timothy says, you know, give attention to reading and exhortation and doctrine. You know what they used to do in the old church? They used to read the scripture. They would all read it together. They would say it together. And so it's a good practice. It registers stronger in your heart when you say that, when you just, you know, many times, you know, you're preaching, the person is thinking about something else. Well, they're looking at the lizard on the ceiling. Well, they're thinking about the food they're going to eat after church. You'd be amazed what goes on in people's minds. You know, don't let me bring out your report cards. All right. So that's why we say the scripture. "Let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus." Let me paraphrase this. Let's say, let this attitude, let this mentality. This is where this humility thing comes. Next verse. Thank you. Give that to you. You gave it to me in what version was that? Was that the Amplified? Thank you. "Let this same attitude and purpose and humble mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Let him be your example in humility." This is crucial. You know, every Christian needs to cultivate this. Humility is not something that's natural to any of us. Hello, somebody. And I'm going to show you why in a minute. You know, that's why I say, let this man. It's something you consciously decide to do and cultivate. It's not one that will just automatically happen. He said, let this mind. If you don't let it, it won't be. So you have a responsibility to let it be. Next verse, verse 6, very quickly. Stay in the King James until I tell you. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. I'm not going to spend long on this. You know, you need to realize many times I won't say we forget. I think the consciousness of it eludes our minds that Jesus was God. You see him as a man in the four Gospels, you know, with the human limitations and everything. But you must understand he was God. When he was praying in John 17, he said, glorify me now with the glory I had with thee before the world was. There are a few places where he reveals, in the four Gospels, where he reveals who he truly is. You know, but the important thing I want us to understand, Mommy mentioned this some weeks ago. He said he had to learn how to be a man. He's God. And he knew he was God. That's what made it that much more difficult. He knew who he was. And he knew he was here for a mission and a purpose. Who thought it not robbery to be equal with God? Verse 7. But made himself. Oh, I didn't hear you. God made him. No, he made himself. I think Papa Ralph taught us many years ago. He says, you have to humble yourself. God will not humble you. It is you who will humble yourself. Papa Ralph, I'll never forget it. He said, God may humiliate you. But God will not humble you. Humility is a choice of your will. But he made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made what? In the likeness of men. Again, I don't want to go into the detail of this. He submitted. There was a plan in the Godhead, you know, before the foundation of the world, that, you know, Jesus was going to come into the earth, a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And becoming a man, he was going to be stripped of his divine attributes. His omnipotence, his omniscience, his omnipresence. And he was going to be just like an ordinary man. But he was helpless. Because he was just a baby. In Bethlehem, in the hand of his own creation. It's mind-boggling. Subject to their abuses, their whatever they did to him, he had no choice in the matter. He would have to just take it. And was made in likeness of men. Verse 8, where I'm going. And being found in fashion as a man, this is the key. He did what? Humbled himself. Again, you see, humility is something you do yourself. Now, God will help you, but the decision is yours. He humbled himself and became what? Obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And so we see the Lord Jesus Christ, in particular at Gethsemane, submitted. He didn't feel like going to the cross. And you know, one thing I love about the Bible is that the Bible is an honest book. It doesn't pretend as if it was just easy for Jesus and he just went to the cross and said, oh God, I'll just do your will. No, he actually prayed and said, if it be possible. Even though he knew what the will of God was, it shows you how he was feeling in his emotions. He says, my soul is sorrowful. That's his feelings. Even unto death. I don't want to do this. Because the death of the cross was not only painful physically, it was shameful. Then that was not even the big problem. The problem was that he was going to be separated from God and go to hell. Amen. He could see all of that just ahead of him. You know, within now 24 hours, this was going to happen to him. And here he was, You know, look at Matthew 26. Matthew 26. We're talking about humility, you know, in verse 36, 39. And here it says, and he went a little further and prayed on his face and said, oh, my Father, if it be possible. Now, he knew it wasn't. But the reason why this is recorded, God is an honest God. God didn't, if it was us, we would hide this. We'd all say he went to the cross. But you see a struggle here. Because he's a man. He didn't feel like going to the cross. He didn't want to go to the cross. But he knew he had to go to the cross because it was the will of God. And it was the way of redemption for man. So he had to willfully submit his will to the will of God when he did not feel like it. That's why he is our example in humility. Let this cup pass from me, if it be possible. Nevertheless, this is the key. Not as I will, but as thou wilt. So what did Jesus do? He submitted his will to the will of God when he did not feel like it. That's what humility is. Now, come to this issue of permanent humility. The Lord has been dealing with me as a person, and I'm teaching, like Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ, and I'm passing the same thing across to you, about permanent humility. In fact, the first time I heard myself say was when I ministered a few weeks ago. I preached on humility and all the for many years, but I've never used that particular expression. And so the Lord was now blowing it up for me, by revelation, and I've come to share with you, God wants our wills to be permanently submitted to his will. Let's say it this way. God wants you to exercise your will so much so that in any situation, under any circumstances, you will always submit that will to the will of God, irrespective of what you feel. That is what is called permanent humility. And there's scripture for it. Look at Psalm 112. When I was reading this, I said, Lord, Psalm 112, and look at verses 7 and 8, Psalm 112. He's talking here about the righteous man. Because of time, we don't want to read everything. And he say, the blessed is the man, who is righteous and all of that. But here he says, he, talking about that man, he's not Jesus now, he's general to all of us, shall not be what? Afraid of what? Bad news. When things are not going right. You know why? His heart is permanent humility. The heart there refers to the soul, the mind, the will, and particularly the will. His will is fixed. He has made up his mind before anything happens. That this is how I'm going to go. His heart is fixed. Many Christians, their heart is not fixed. And that's what I'm going to teach us now, how to do it. We've submitted the will of God, but if things really get tough, many of us would. But you can get there, and you will get there. Let me add another one. You must get there. Now, Pastor Kunle told us about Zion. This is the characteristic of Zion. You will see as we go on. There are certain things God cannot give you. There are certain truths God cannot even reveal to you. There is certain power God cannot make available to you if you're not permanently humble. You're a loose cannon going somewhere to explode. He can't. It's not that he doesn't love you. He just can't trust you. His heart is fixed. Trusting in the Lord. What do I trust? I trust in the mercy of God. That when I submit my will to the will of God, God is going to help me. It may not be easy at first. I may not like it. But at the end of it, there's going to come an exaltation. And that is what gives me the faith to submit my will to the will of God when I don't feel like it. Because I know God is good. And ultimately, when he's asking me to submit my will to his will, when I don't feel like it, he has something better in store in front. Now, I can't see it when I'm doing it, but I have to trust by faith. Thou will not leave my soul in hell, neither shall thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. Jesus knew he was going to die. And he knew it was going to be shameful, but he also knew he was going to be raised. He said, I tell you, the Son of Man shall be delivered into the hands of sinners. They will kill him. They will scourge him. They will mock him. But the third day, he will rise again. That was what took him through. That knowledge, that understanding of the character and the faithfulness of God. God is a very faithful person. You can trust him. And he wants to get to the place where he can trust you. Hello, somebody. That's where we're going. Now, next verse, verse 8. Quickly. His heart is what? Still fixed. Permanent. He shall not be what? Until he sees his desires upon his enemies. This is a heart that's fixed in humility and also fixed in love. Because perfect love casts out fear. So you can get to a place in your Christian life where your will is permanently fixed to submit to the will of God. Your heart is established in the love of God. No matter what is happening, evil tidings, enemies, problems, you won't be afraid. Amen. You know why? You know you're going to come out on top. Like Mommy said earlier today, he said love never fails. It doesn't fail. Now, it may look as if it's failing, but it will not fail. Amen. You just got to wait. Yes, sir. Hallelujah. You know, anytime, I don't know about you, but Christ is in me. I believe Christ is in you too. You know, the Bible says, examine yourself if you be in the faith. He said, know ye not that Jesus Christ is in you, except you reprobate. There's something that happens to me. I'm sure it happens to you too in a measure. Maybe not as much as me, but probably some of you may even have it at the same time. There is no time I read that portion of scripture, I don't feel something. Because Christ is in me. I know exactly, well, don't let me use that exactly. But I sense what he felt. Jesus God. They brought him before Pilate. Are you the king of the Jews? He said, did somebody tell you? They blindfolded and they slapped him. Hey! Prophesy! Who slapped you? Anytime I read that thing, I feel it inside me. The indignation, the shock, the humiliation. He didn't say a word. He didn't say anything. Just keep quiet. Just looking at them. Oh, King of the Jews! They took a crown of thorns. Instead of a proper crown, they pushed it inside of his head so that the thorns pierced the scalp, you know, and all his head. So blood was dripping down. After they took him to Herod and they brought him back, and Pilate was pressured, you know, to sentence him to death. You know what the soldiers did? They knelt down before him. Then they mocked him, King of the Jews, King of the Jews. Then they took a stick, hit him on the head, King of the Jews. You know when you read this and you, I have Christ today, I know. You know how he felt. The humiliation. He was just looking. He didn't say a word. He was just looking. He didn't say anything. He slapped him. Mocked him. Here's somebody who has 6,000 angels at his beck and call. He could have dealt with those guys in an instant. And he showed it. When they came to arrest, he said, which one of you just said, I am he? Everybody fell down. Those angels were there. They were waiting. That's why he said it. He said, don't you think I can tell my father and he will send presently, 12 legions of angels? Well, he didn't do it. Submit to the will of God when you don't feel like it. This is the perfect example of humility. Didn't say a word. Just because, you know why? He wasn't seeing Pilate. Oh my God. He wasn't seeing the soldiers. He was not seeing Herod. You know who he was seeing? You. Me. The thousands through millions of people through eternity that he was going to save. So what these ones were doing was of no consequence. May we get to the place where we can see the will of God. Then it's not going to be as difficult. Like Pastor Kuno was saying, you need to be seeing something. It will not be as difficult to submit to the will of God when you can see beyond your nose. The reason why we don't submit to the will of God is that all we can see is what's in our immediate gratification. Begin to see, Jesus didn't say a word. Just they now dragged him, put the cross on him, then they gave it to that Simeon of Cyrene, because that one was black. You know, soldiers, they haven't changed. They're still the same. Once they said I was going to crucify him, they began to whip him, and push him. So he had lost so much blood because they had first of all beaten him, and all his back was bleeding. It was blood from top to bottom. Do you understand? They had put the crown of thorns on his head. His whole back was bleeding. He was already losing blood. So he was already feeling weak. So he was carrying that heavy cross. When the soldiers saw that, this guy won't make it too. He will not make it between here and Calvary. So the soldier began to look for a scapegoat. I just saw one black man. You! Simon of Cyrene. Oh yeah? Carry the cross. Now I had no choice. This is not Nigeria. This is not America where you have fundamental human rights. This is the Roman Empire. If he said no, they could kill him there. And there's nothing they can do. Of course, the man obeyed. So, he carried the cross and he was going. That's what, our brethren call stations of the cross. Oh, God. And he was going from place. The only time he spoke, then the women were crying. And I said, oh. He said, ye daughters of Jerusalem. He said, don't weep for me. If they have done this in a green tree, what will they do in a dry one? He was talking about what's going to happen 40 years down the road in the destruction of Jerusalem. He went through it all. On the cross, as they were nailing him, and those boys, bad boys, stripped his clothes. They cast lots for his clothes. All these pictures you see in Dubai is not the real thing. No. He was naked. They stripped him. You can imagine the shame. And he was there. He didn't say a word. As the boys nailed him, he said, Father, forgive them. Because they don't understand what they're doing. And that was the truth. Then he looked at John. His mommy was there. John was the only people he spoke to. He said, "Behold thy mother. Mommy, behold your son." He committed Holy Mary, Mother of God, into the hands of John, because he had a plan for them. That's the reality, folks. He submitted. It wasn't easy. This thing has I since the night before. All kinds of provocations, insults, abuses. But he was looking beyond what was happening. I asked God. I said, why this permanent humility? And I've written it down. So there will be a permanent flow of grace and mercy in sufficient measure that will give you access to the power of the Spirit without measure. That is the essence, the reason for permanent humility. When your will gets to a place where you keep exercising it, then it gets to a place where it's fixed and it's constantly submitted to the will of God. Irrespective of how you feel, when it reaches that, there is a critical point where your will gets to that point, then God can release mercy. He says he gives grace to the humble. He will release grace and mercy in a measure, you know, that is wonderful, great. We'll call it spirit without measure. The second reason, that's one reason. The second reason is even more, I don't know if I can say it's more important, but it's crucial. I think, you know, I would say it is just as important. This second one actually comes before the first one. The reason why God wants us to have permanent humility, particularly now, that's why the message is coming now. See, it's a prophetic landmark message to prepare us for the glory that is about to manifest. Brethren, I have not seen, you have not seen, none of us has ever seen what is coming. You know what God said? He said, as I live, the earth will be filled with my glory. He says, eye has not seen, neither has ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, the things God has prepared for them that love him. You know why God wants us to have permanent humility? Why it is a prerequisite. You have to exercise your heart to that point so that your heart will not be lifted up when the glory comes. And don't deceive yourself to say, ah, no, my heart will not be lifted up. And God gave me an example. I'm going to give you three examples very, very quickly. There's a guy in the Bible, his name is Uzziah. Quickly go to 2 Chronicles chapter 26. I'm going to talk about Uzziah. I'm going to talk about Lucifer. And I'm going to talk about Joseph. Uzziah, 2 Chronicles chapter 26. And look at verses 4 and 5 to start with. This is Uzziah when he was young. This is a good Christian in the New Testament today. He's a good man. He did that, let's read together, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, like you, according to all that his father Amaziah did. Verse 5. And he sought God. This is the guy who came to church. This is the guy who read the Bible. This is the guy who prayed. A serious Christian, like you and I. And he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long, may God have mercy on us, as long As he sought the Lord, God did what? Made him to prosper. You see, God will prosper you. God will, but the end of this story is not the best. And this is the lesson we must all learn. Jump to verse 7. And God helped him against the Philistines. I'm just going to stop there. Everybody say, and God helped him. Turn to your neighbor and say, who helped him? Say, God helped him. Did he help himself? Who prospered him? But this is always the problem. And this is why God told me, he said, go and teach this thing. Let them open their ears and let them understand it. My glory that is coming, the earth has never seen anything like it. That's why permanent humility is compulsory. You won't get there overnight. But number one, like Mommy and Kunle taught earlier this morning, you must have a desire for it. Then you must have a determination, you know, a dedication towards it, and then start practicing it diligently. You've got to understand that you have a job to do in your own heart to keep your heart constantly and permanently humble. Jump to verse 16. It's a sad story. But when he was strong, what happened? His heart was lifted up to his own destruction. Can you imagine? This is a guy God blessed. This is a guy who knew the Lord. This is a guy who sought the Lord. There's something, is that satanic nature that is not only in the heart but also in the air. Are you listening to me? About when we get strong, when God blesses us, when we look around and say, yes, somehow the heart, but if there is permanent humility, it will not be lifted up. That's why God is doing this work inside us now. We're going to close in a few minutes. That's why God is doing the work inside us now. Because God knows. He knows the human heart. Look at what happened to Lucifer. Ezekiel chapter 28. Quickly look at verse 17. I'm just going to pick that verse alone. Lucifer did not start as the devil. He was made by God. Perfect in beauty. Full of, sealest of the sum of wisdom. You don't even want to know. Lucifer. Great guy. The anointed cherub that covereth. But look at what happened. He said, thy heart was what? Lifted up. Why? Because of thy beauty. You know, when God glorifies you, ready today. When God blesses you, you have the spirit without measure. Men start bowing before you and say, surely God is in it. The Bible says it will happen. What's going to happen to your heart? It's going to happen. It's going to happen. This one comes, you know, you don't even have to pray for people. They just come here, they get healed. It's incredible photographic memory. And everybody is talking about you. People come from far and wide just to come and hear you. God exalts you. Will your heart be lifted up? Mercy, Lord. That's the reason. His heart, he said, because of your beauty, by reason, brightness is glory. Satan had the glory. He walked in the midst of the stones of fire. I'm going to tell you something. So that what happened to Lucifer will not happen to you. God is doing a work in your heart now to give it permanent humility. God loves you too much to give you glory and power and brightness that your heart cannot handle. And then he gave me the example of Joseph. Joseph is one of the best examples in scripture. Joseph, we know his story, you know, son of Jacob, sold into slavery, was in Potiphar's house, you know, refused the overtures of the wife, landed in prison, interpreted the dream of the Pharaoh, of the butler, and of the baker. And Joseph said, "Ah, Oga, when you come out, please remember me. You know, I didn't do anything. That's why they put me here." The Bible says the man forgot. It was not the man who forgot. It was God. Because the heart was not ready yet. Had Joseph come out 2 years earlier, his heart would have been lifted up after Pharaoh exalted him. In order to finish, they finished that work of humility. God allowed an extra 2 years of suffering, disappointment, humiliation. You can imagine how Joseph would have felt after he told the butler, you know, he would be expected tomorrow, next day, 1 week, 2 years. Hope deferred, make it the heart sick. That hope was, God used it to do a work inside the heart and push to that permanent work of humility. It got to the point where whether they call me or they don't call me, it doesn't matter anymore. When God saw he was ready, on a day he was not told, on a day he was not expecting, that's how the glory is going to come. At an hour you think not. Somebody just came to the jail. Where is that Hebrew? Where is that Hebrew boy who interpreted the something? Oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah. Oh, guy is calling you. Joseph could not bear. What is this? He didn't even know why they were calling him. Whether they were going to kill him, or whether they were going to punish him, or send him to a worse jail. The Bible says he shaved himself and changed his clothes. Hallelujah. Then they quickly brought him before Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said, "I've dreamed a dream." Ah, Joseph understood. Today is the day. Hallelujah. Ah, he said, "God will give Pharaoh an answer of peace." Permanent humility. The test, when his brothers came. You can't understand. You know, in the rest of us, we think we have seen money. We haven't seen money yet. Joseph was the richest and most powerful man in the whole world. Back in those days. He was the richest and the most powerful man. His word was law in Egypt. He could do and undo. That is the test of the heart. The Bible says he immediately recognized his brothers. He spoke roughly to them. "You have come out to spy the land." And he spoke to them through an interpreter. He did not speak Hebrew. And then he was hearing what they were saying. They began to say, "I told you not to sell the boy. See, all our wickedness has come upon." And he understood what they were saying, but they did not know that he understood. He was just looking, meditating in his heart. Permanent humility. You know what Joseph did? He submitted to the will of God. Because a permanent work had been done in his heart. May God do a permanent work in your heart. Don't rush the seed. I got to close. I mentioned this last time when I preached about the temporal resurrection of the mortal body, but I'll just emphasize it now. When God allows us to suffer, when God allows us to feel carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, when He allows us to suffer, when He allows us to suffer inconvenience, pain, weakness, disappointments, a work is being done in our heart. The blueness of a wound removes evil. Give me Proverbs 20:30. Proverbs chapter 20:30. I used to wonder about this scripture. The blueness of a wound cleanseth away what? What is the root of all evil? Pride. It's pride. That's what God wants to get rid of. So do what? Stripes the what? In what? There is a work that suffering. That's why, go and check the scriptures. There is no exaltation without suffering. No glory without suffering. Because it is the suffering that will do the work in the heart. So that the heart will become permanently humble and they can handle the glory that will come. Are you listening to me? That's why God is allowing it. All the suffering, the inconvenience, the disappointments, and all of those things as He's preparing you. The Bible says, Ecclesiastes 7:3, it says, a sad countenance does a work inside our Ecclesiastes. Sorrow is better than laughter. The sadness of a countenance, the heart is what? Made better. When Joseph was disappointed by the butler, his heart was made better. You don't get it better than Joseph. Exalted above the whole kingdoms of the earth. The Bible says all the earth, go and check it, came to buy from Joseph. He's a guy who was controlling everything. I love Joseph. You know what? In all of that, the man stayed humble. Joseph. That message I preached some time ago, Joseph had no Bible. Joseph is an icon. He's somebody we should all pattern ourselves. He's a type of Christ. Betrayed by his brethren. He died for his brethren. He didn't die physically, but he was his laner that saved the rest of the world. He was a savior out of Mount Zion. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In it all, Joseph stayed humble. In it all. You don't marry only one wife. Don't let me go there this afternoon. All these are our stupid little small boys. They become king. The next thing they do is marry a second wife. Joseph. Just that girl. And those two boys. He saw what polygamy can do to a home. You know, he died when his mother was... He was still very young when his mommy died. He remembered. He stayed humble. When his brothers came and he finally revealed himself to them, he said, don't worry. Go and tell my daddy. Bring everybody. Bring all your little ones, everybody. There's still another 5 years of famine. Come, I will look after you. And he did. The man stayed humble. As powerful as he became, he remained humble. Permanent humility. Finally, when his father died, his brothers thought they were like him. But payday has come. He said, we are all thy servants. You know what happened? Joseph began to cry. What a man. It's because the work, those years in Potiphar's house, the slavery, the years in prison, the suffering did the work in the heart. You know why Uzziah's heart was lifted? He never suffered. You know why Saul's heart was lifted? He never suffered. David suffered a little. David never got proud, apart from the Bathsheba something. David still stayed humble because he had years of suffering in the wilderness. There is something. Now I can appreciate, Pastor G, why God hasn't given us all the things we wanted. Or better. You see, born again, spirit filled, tongue talking pastors marrying the secretary, committing adultery. You know why? They have too much that their hearts cannot handle. So the heart becomes lifted up. You've heard about, you know, a greater work of grace. What was the testimony? Rubbish and nonsense. Look at that level of deception. Because the heart was not ready. Let God finish his work in your heart too. If there are things that are not working, relax. Get back into the word. Get back into prayer. Say, God, whatever you need to do, make my heart like Joseph's heart. So that when I get exalted, Joseph was exalted to the highest position on the earth at that time. That's where we're going. Thou shalt be head and not tail, above only and not beneath. All the nations of the earth, you will lend to nations, you will not borrow. They will see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. Will you stay humble? That, dearly beloved, is the lesson. Just give you one or two more scriptures and I'm going to close. Scripture tells us in Proverbs chapter 15 in verse 13. Proverbs 15:13. A merry heart maketh a cheerful, but by what? Sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. God will break that pride. Leviticus chapter 26 verse 19. I will break the power of your pride. It's not a very, very exciting message. Everybody wants to be like Joseph. Leviticus, quickly, 26:19. I will break the what? Pride of your power. God is God's going to do it all. He's going to allow things to happen that will break it. He will break it. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 7 verse 10. I'm closing. Am I talking to anybody here? For godly sorrow worketh repentance not to salvation, not to be. There is a sorrow in godliness. There is a godly sorrow that will do that work inside the heart. Now, the sorrow of the world, you don't want that one. But the sorrow, you know, it says, by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is what? Broken. God needs to break our pride. So that no matter what comes, no matter how high you are exalted, when you become like Joseph and all the earth comes to buy from you, you lay hands on the sick, they get healed instantly. Blind eyes open, you are raising the dead, you have incredible photographic memory, mathematical skills, the whole world is bowing at your feet. And you remember where God brought you from. You stay humble. When people come, you say, it's not me. It's God. They came to Joseph. He said, the answer is not in me. He said, God will give Pharaoh an answer of peace. Let us pray. Talk to God. Permanent humility. Permanent humility. Permanent humility. How's it going to come? The word, prayer, and keep exercising your heart. Submitting that will to the will of God when you don't feel like it. When disappointments come, submit to the will of God. When victories come, submit to the will of God. Let nothing, says in nothing shall they be offended. Let nothing change your heart. Talk to God. We're going to close now and then go straight into the medical session. On bended knees we come,
with a humble heart we come,
bowing down,
bowing down
before your holy throne. Holy hands.
Lifting holy hands to you.
As we pledge our love anew.
We worship you.
We worship you in spirit.
We worship you.
We worship you in truth. Make our lives. On bended knees, we come.
On bended knees, we come.
With a humble heart,
with a humble heart, we come.
Bowing down,
bowing down, before your holy throne.
Lifted holy hands, lift those hands.
We
worship you in spirit. We worship you in truth. Our lives are holy praise unto you. On bended knees we come one more time. Your heart, raise the other hand to God. Simple prayer, and we're going to close. Say, Father, I confess our sins and so clean with the blood. In Jesus' name, we have life. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word that you have brought to me this afternoon, showing me your great love for me, teaching me that you want me to exercise my heart in humility until I get to permanent humility, so that you will be free to exalt me to the greatest heights that you have ordained for me. You have called me for your glory. For whom you did foreknow, them you also called, you justified, and then you glorified. I know you have great things in store for me, but I also know I cannot handle it until a work of permanent humility is done in my heart. Here I am, Lord. Complete your work. Like Joseph of old, I submit to your will. Like Jesus of old, I submit to your will. Whatever you're doing, I will cooperate with. I will not murmur. I will not complain. I recognize you have a great plan ahead, because you want me to be a blessing to so many people, and yet remain humble, remain kind, remain forgiving, remain gentle, like Joseph was, like the Lord Jesus was. Oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God, by your mercy and by your grace, complete, complete this work of permanent humility in my heart, in with whatever tools, circumstances you have to use, including your blood, your word, and your spirit, in Jesus' name. Let's pray in the spirit. Lepakato, shelikato fredengas, nungarakatolomashan, shakito fredenga kromatul, lumbrikito fresh, kromashoko kromatul, tulomatu fredu freshingar, tukromatu kromatu kromatu kromatu, tulomashtu fredu fresh, zufridika, tulomashanga, tukromatulomakromatulomakromatulomakromatulomakromatulomakromatulomakromatulomakromatulomakromatulomakromatulomakromatulomakromatulomakromatulomakromatulomakromatulomakromatulomakromatulomakromatulomakromatulomakromatulomakromatulomashtu fredu fresh. Tulumingaras, Tufridis, Tufriningaras, Tushkafredes, Tulumangaras, Sheki Tufres, Nigatulos, Neras, Nikatushkefres, Tulumaras, Zifridis, Tulumangas, Tufredeles, Sheki Tufris, in Jesus' name. Just before we sit down, this is what God does. He does it using the word and the spirit. And difficult circumstances. Why? It's not the word and the spirit alone. He uses that. That's very important. Because if you suffer and you don't use the word and the spirit, you won't come out of it. As we're praying, this scripture just flashed into my mind. Because of the abundance of revelation, lest I should be exalted above measure, there was given to me, it was the devil, the messenger of sin, and sent to buffet me. Paul prays that God take this thing. God said, you are going to overcome it, but you're going to overcome it through humility, for my grace is sufficient for you. So you use the word, the blood, use the word and the spirit. In whatever circumstance you find yourself, you humble yourself. Don't get angry with God. Don't murmur. Don't complain. What did Joseph do? When the butler did not come the second week, third week, fourth week, he went back to his Bible. Well, he didn't have a Bible. He went back to the way he was praying and all things he was doing. He just continued to do what he was doing. Whenever you're in a difficult situation, go back to the word. Go back and submit to the will of God. Everything hasn't come yet, submit to the will of God. And start praying, and start walking in the word, and start praying in the spirit. More grace will be added. More humility will be added. You know, and mercy and grace, and you will overcome that. But the work in the heart would have been done. Very important. So it's not the suffering alone that does the work. It's the word and the spirit in the heart through the sufferings. Is it clear? Very important. Let us be seated.